By now, you may have seen footage of chaos at the Kabul airport. Desperation and fear from Afghans swarming U.S. planes in the tarmac, trying to escape as the Taliban retake control. There are reports of people falling to their deaths, clinging to departing jets. This morning, the Deputy National Security Advisor, John Finer, said this to NPR.
We will continue to be working on securing the airport and maintaining these flights for as long as that can be done safely and securely.
The chaos at the airport is exactly what many advocates hoped to avoid, as they called for an orderly evacuation. One of those advocates is Krish Omer Vignaraja. She's president and CEO of the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. And Krish, what do you hear now about the U.S.-Afghan allies in Kabul trying to get out?
Yeah, obviously the security situation is dire. We have heard uncorroborated reports of the Taliban going door to door in Kabul in search of those who serve the U.S. mission. We're told that, many of the Afghans that we've worked with, their family members have fled to the airport in Kabul. There's a palpable sense of fear and anxiety among them. You can see that in the harrowing footage of children and families at the airport running with nothing but what they can carry as gunfire rattles off in the distance. And we at LIRS were inundated with cries for help. SIV stuck in provinces already overtaken by the Taliban, who are hiding in their houses. Others in Kabul, not sure whether to go to the airport or shelter in place.
Do you know whether there are planes that are still leaving? And if they are, who's likely to get on?
Yeah, so throughout the night, as we understood it, military and civilian flights were halted. We are now hearing about the resumption or plans for military flights. But it does seem quite ad hoc. There had been preparations for more organized evacuation of SIVs. They would have arrived through Dulles to Fort Lee this week.
And forgive me, what does SIV stand for the rest of us?
It's the special immigrant visas. So these are for the interpreters, translators, drivers, engineers, security guards who worked alongside U.S. troops.
And as far as these individuals who have been presumably waiting in line to get these visas, what's happening now to this visa process, given what we're seeing happening in real time in Kabul?
Yeah. So the special immigrant visa applicants who faithfully served alongside U.S. troops and the embassy, they're in grave danger. For many of them, being left behind may amount to a death sentence, not just for them, but for their families as well. But this is where we still have time to act. And with the U.S. military's growing presence, as Deputy National Security Advisor John Finer mentioned, will depend on the U.S. military presence. But I have the utmost confidence that we can still save the lives of our allies. But this is where the U.S. needs to act with the urgency required, because we have only seen a small fraction of these individuals evacuated to safety here in the U.S.
And what do those numbers look like? You said small fraction.
Yeah, so we've had about 1,200 SIVs and their family members relocated to the U.S. thus far, but that's against a backdrop of upwards of 80,000 allies and their family members who are still stuck in Afghanistan. And that doesn't even count the women's rights activists, journalists, academics, NGO workers, other civil society leaders who are obviously, in Afghanistan still and whose lives are in jeopardy.
So the Biden administration, as you mentioned, is saying it has intentions to help these Afghans who have been on the American side. And yet here we are today, as you look at this crisis unfold on the screen, on TV, could this have been avoided?
Yeah, candidly, it could have, and it should have been. We've been advocating for a full-scale evacuation of these allies and their families for months now, and it was clear to anyone with a passing familiarity of the bureaucratic maze that is the State Department's special immigrant visa processing that it was not going to be agile enough to respond with the urgency needed. So we've been screaming from the rooftops for months that we needed to get these allies to Guam or other U.S. territory. And unfortunately, it seemed that the administration was considering whether they could outsource this moral and military obligation to third countries. And so we find ourselves where we are now.
Krish, you mentioned the U.S. bureaucracy and the government here. In your view, what is the main thing that's gone wrong?
it was the administration relying on what was clearly a bureaucratic process instead of acting with the urgency required of a war zone. These individuals should have been evacuated to U.S. territory, as we've done in all three historical examples, whether it was the Vietnamese, Kosovo, or Iraq. Instead, the answer from the State Department and the White House was we need to rely on the VUTA processing, and clearly that failed. And as a result, we have allies who are in harm's way as the Taliban takes control of the country.
Mm. All right. Krish Omara Vignaraja. She's president and CEO of the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR. I'm Scott Tong.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.